नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चत्तादिशुता श्रील प्रभुपाद की। हरे कृष्ण। आई विल टेक द अटेंडेंस। Manjari Devi Dasi, Shri Kari Devi Dasi, Bhakta Ankur Sethi, Bakrishwari Devi Dasi, Abhay Das, Vaidiki Devi Dasi, Rukmavati Devi Dasi, Prashanta Devi Dasi, Bhakta Leopoldo Macdonaldo. Tendency is to get absorbed with these notes. Or would you prefer to have the notes with you beforehand? Prashanta? No, you are shaking. Okay, and revealing his super excellent pastimes from Golok Vrindavan, which is this form of Krishna of Golok Vrindavan, this Brajendra Nandan Krishna, is the Swayam Roop Bhagavan. That is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, that is this Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, whose form is like that of a human being, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he expands. His first expansion is Balaram. Then from Balaram, there is the expansion of Chaturbhuha, that is Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Then from there, from that Shankarshan expands the Narayan forms of Vaikuntha, and in this way expands different incarnations in Vaikuntha or different forms of the Lord in Vaikuntha, like Nrisingha, Varaha, Kurma. They all have their special abodes in Vaikuntha Loka. And then in order to create this material nature, the Lord lies down as Mahavishnu in the causal ocean, and then from his body, the bubbles that come out as is due to his respiration are different universes. So this is the general understanding of the expansions of the Lord and material creation, the creation of the material nature. But in this way, when we go back, then we find that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually Krishna. And his abode is Vrindavan. And that abode of the Lord is even beyond Vaikuntha. There is a characteristic difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. The difference is, Vaikuntha is the region of opulence. There Krishna is the, or Narayan is the Supreme Lord, and everyone else is his servant, and there the Lord displays his opulence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So wherever we go in Vaikuntha, we find this mood. And this mood goes all the way up to Dwarka, where Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the king, is the prince. So prince means opulence. But Vrindavan is beyond that region, because in Vrindavan the opulence has become secondary and love has become the prominent factor. In Vrindavan we don't see opulence as such. We don't see apparent opulence. There we don't see big palaces, we don't see such display of grandeur like we'd find in Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan we see a very intense relationship, loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And in that loving relationship, opulence has become secondary. And therefore, apparently, Vrindavan is a forest. They are residing, the residents of Vrindavan are just villages. And their occupation is tending the cows and cultivating the land. That also for the cows. So there we see that the Lord and his associates are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees, his associates, are not very exalted, noble personalities residing in absolute grandeur of the spiritual sky. But they are actually living just like a group of village people. And their lifestyle is very simple. And their only asset and their only concern is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And their love for the Lord is so intense, and they are so absorbed in that love for the Lord that they don't care for anything else. And as a result of that, due to that love, we'll find that the opulence of Vaikuntha, opulence of Dwarka, becomes insignificant. They don't care for the opulence. So in this way we can see that the love is superior to opulence. And that loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest achievement that one can have. That pure love, and in that love, they don't care for any opulence. So this pastimes of Vrindavan, Krishna reveals only once in a day of Brahma. Brahma's day consists of 1,000 cycles of Satyayug, Tretayug, Dwaparyug and Kaliyug, each cycle consisting of 4.32 million years. Therefore, one day of Brahma comprises of 4.32 billion years. And once in a day of Brahma, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, descends with his abode, Vrindavan. And he displays his super excellent pastimes, the pastimes like that of a human being. It has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that of all of Krishna's pastimes, his pastimes that are similar to the human beings are the highest. Krishnero jateko khela, tar modhe noro lila, noro bopu taharo sharup. His form as a human being is his original form. Now here we find one interesting quote from Bible also, where it says that man has been created according to the image of God. Man has been created according to the image of God. Therefore we can conclude, or this simply indicates that God's form is actually like that of a man's, because man has been created according to the image of God. So here we can see also that Jesus had the understanding of Krishna, the two-armed form of the Lord. Even in Vedic understanding, generally the understanding is Lord's form is four-armed. In Vaikuntha, the Lord is four-armed. Only in Vrindavan the Lord is two-armed. In Dwarka, sometimes he is two-armed, sometimes he is four-armed. In Vrindavan only the Lord is present in his origin, and that is his original form. The form like that of a human being. So, and these forms of the, these pastimes of the Lord as the human being is the highest of all his pastimes. Why? Because in these pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, there is the possibility of developing relationship with the Lord in friendship, parental and conjugal. This is not available in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, the relationship between the Lord and his devotees or his associates, what is the relationship based on? Loudly, the relationship is based on neutrality and servitorship. Servitorship. There, the Lord is the Supreme Master and everyone else is his servant. That is the general standard in Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha. Everyone is the servant and Narayan is the Supreme Personality of God. So everyone is worshipping him as God. But then above, in the higher region of Vaikuntha, there is Dwarka. There we find that the relationship with the Lord is going into from servitorship into friendship. Like Hanuman is asking, Lord Ramchandra is asking Hanuman what he wanted. And the Hanuman is responding to the Lord by saying, "My Lord, if you really want to bless me, then please give me your embrace." So this embrace is friendship. So Hanuman from servitorship is coming to friendship. The Lord is giving him his embrace. But otherwise, everyone is treating Lord Ramchandra as the Lord and Master. Then in Dwarka, we find that the friendship has become little more developed. Like there is some maturity in friendship like that of Uddhava. Krishna treats him like a friend. But still that friendship is in awe and reverence. The understanding is there that Krishna is God. Krishna is the super soul. And then we come to Vrindavan and we find that not only friendship but even parental relationship and conjugal relationship are manifested in the most perfect way. So perfect that they forgot, the friends there in Vrindavan forgot that Krishna is God. Out of their intense love for Krishna, they forget that Krishna is God and they don't want to treat him like God. Their attitude is, even if you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so what? And in some cases we see that they don't even care for the Supreme. In Vaikuntha there is servitorship. The entire relationship is based on servitorship. Because Krishna is displaying his opulence. Narayan is displaying his opulence as God and everyone is treating him like God. Now is it possible to develop friendship with God when you know that he is God? No. Because friendship means playing, wrestling. So the and sometimes while they are wrestling, they have to fight with him. And not only that, in wrestling there is a condition in Vrindavan when they wrestle, the cowherd boys. The condition is that when the loser has to carry the winner on his back. So sometimes Krishna loses in that wrestling bout. Then the cowherd boys, the cowherd boy who defeated Krishna, he says, Krishna, now you have to carry me on your back. Krishna says, no, no, I didn't lose. I actually slipped on the banana peel. And then you jumped on me and now you're claiming that you won. It's cheating. I didn't lose. Then he says, no, Krishna, you lost, so now you have to fulfill the condition. You have to carry me on your back. Then Krishna refuses. Then the friend of Krishna forces his way onto Krishna's back. Now can you imagine forcing one's way onto Krishna's back, what it means? He had to put his foot on Krishna's body and climb onto Krishna's back. Now my question is, who will ever to do that to Krishna on the altar? Will any devotee ever dare to put his foot on Krishna's form as the deity? No. Therefore, in order to develop that relationship, one has to forget that Krishna is God. And that's what Jogamaya does. Jogamaya makes everybody in Vrindavan forget that Krishna is God. Or another way to look at it is their love for Krishna is so intense that they don't remember that Krishna is God. Or their feeling is, so what? If you're God, so what? Sometimes Madhu Mangal tells Krishna, Madhu Mangal is a Brahmin. He's a son of Sandipani Muni. So Madhu Mangal claims that Madhu Mangal tells Krishna, Krishna, after all, I am a Brahmin. And you should show some respect to me. Then Krishna says, yes, but you see, more important than birth is one's deeds. The activities are more important than birth. So you look at my activities. They are so extraordinary. So you have to recognize that after all, I am also a very great personality. So Madhu Mangal says, see how conceited you have become. And then Krishna says, see, I have done so many things. When I was 7 days old, Putana came to kill me, I killed Putana. And then Trinavarta Sur I subdued. Then when I was 7 years old, I lifted Giri Govardhan. When Kaliya, I subdued Kaliya. So these are my super excellent activities, and you must recognize me from my activities. Then Madhu Mangal says, see, I told you, you have become so conceited. And he started to say, Putana, so when you're 7 days old, what ability you had, you are just a little kid. But it is said that the demigods protect the children and old people. So it is the demigod actually who killed Putana, and now you want to take credit for that. And as far as lifting Giri Govardhan, Nanda Maharaj, Balaram, and everybody was propping Giri Govardhan up, and you want to take the whole credit. Actually, Giri Govardhan could have been held up for 7 days like that because all these powerful gopas were holding it up. And as far as killing Kaliya is concerned, you are finished. You are dead. Everybody saw. I mean, your bluish complexion, even darker due to the poison of Kaliya. And you are in his coil, everybody saw. You are finished. You are dead. Seeing you, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, they all fainted. And then I took pity upon them. And then I started to chant the mantra to subdue a serpent. And as a result of that, Kaliya became so frightened that he released you from the coil, from its coil. And then you jumped up on his head and started dancing as if you have done a great job. So then Krishna says, oh, I see. So please accept my humble obeisances. So this is how the the devotees of Vrindavan treat Krishna. And this is the most wonderful prerogative that Krishna provides to some very special devotees. Now, Krishna performed that pastimes 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, in this earthly Vrindavan, Bhoma Vrindavan. And then, after performing that pastime, Krishna considered that I revealed my pastimes in this world, and only a few qualified people could be elevated to that pastimes. Because in Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna actually comes with his Nitya Siddha associates from Golok Vrindavan. Only a few sadhan siddhas are there, those who achieve their perfection and enter into that pastime. They are known as Shruticharis and Rishicharis, the sages of Dandakaranya who desired this relationship with Lord Ramchandra during his pastimes in Treta Yuga, and Lord Ramchandra fulfilled their pastimes and they were elevated into Vrindavan pastime. And the exponents of the Upanishads also got an entry to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. But that's just a handful of them. So Krishna considered that I revealed my Vrindavan pastimes, but what is the, how will one have access to Vrindavan, entrance to Vrindavan? Because Krishna considered that generally a devotee serves the Lord according to Vaidhi Bhakti. Following the rules and regulations, one performs devotional service that is known as Vaidhi Bhakti. And when one attains perfection by following Vaidhi Bhakti, then one is elevated to Vaikuntha. By following Vaidhi Bhakti, one goes to Vaikuntha. So one will automatically serve the Lord in Vaidhi Bhakti and he will go to Vaikuntha. So how will one get his entry to Vrindavan? Krishna started to consider. The devotees will serve the Lord in awe and reverence, following Vaidhi Bhakti, and the destination is Vaikuntha. Therefore, Krishna decided to come as a devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by serving this devotee Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti, one will be able to enter into Vrindavan. So the reason why Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his Vrindavan pastimes in Dwapar Yuga is to enable the living entities an entry to Golok Vrindavan. So you see the process? If you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will naturally serve him in Vaidhi Bhakti. And by serving him in that way, where will you go when you attain perfection? Vaikuntha. But when one serves the devotee Krishna, Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in awe and reverence, then he will get his entry to Vrindavan. When he attains perfection by receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, this is one of the main reasons, or we can say one of the hidden reasons why Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that actually means, devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaidhi Bhakti means in Shantaras and in Dasharas. So we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu means Supreme Master. So he is the Supreme Master, therefore we all are his servants. So when we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a servant, then we get an entry to Vrindavan, or we can say that the gate of Vrindavan opens up for us. Now,
Why?
Because, you see, self-Krishna as God, that will be the Vaidhi Bhakti. Through Vaidhi Bhakti, the destination will be Vaikuntha. But when we serve Krishna as a devotee, not as God, but as a devotee, by serving the Lord as a devotee, we get the entry to Vrindavan. Now, to expand on that also, as you asked, why is that? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee, meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. Right? Now, what is the way to enter into Vrindavan? By surrendering to one of the residents of Vrindavan, can we enter into Vrindavan? So when we are surrendering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are we actually surrendering to? Who are we actually following? Srimati Radharani. That is how we are getting an access to Vrindavan. And that is why he assumed this form, to enable the living entities in the age of Kali to have an access to Vrindavan. Now, now Vrindavan devotion means love. Vrindavan devotion means love. And this love, this loving devotion, that where rules and regulations are not important, but the love, the spontaneous love of the heart is what matters. So rules and regulations become secondary, and the love becomes the principal consideration. So that devotion is called Raganuga Bhakti. So that is the difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, it is Vaidhi Bhakti, whereas in Vrindavan, it is Rag Bhakti. Rag means love. Rag actually means the color. The real expression of Rag means color. Now, what is the color? The color of the heart? The color of the heart is actually the emotions. And when we approach Krishna with that emotion of the heart, and that is the Rag Bhakti. So at this point, I will just this form to enable the living entities in the age of Kali to have an access to Vrindavan. Now, now Vrindavan devotion means love. Vrindavan devotion means love. And this love, this loving devotion, that where rules and regulations are not important, but the love, the spontaneous love of the heart is what matters. So rules and regulations become secondary, and the love becomes the principal consideration. So that devotion is called Raganuga Bhakti. So that is the difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, it is Vaidhi Bhakti, whereas in Vrindavan, it is Rag Bhakti. Rag means love. Rag actually means the color. The real expression of Rag means color. Now, what is the color? The color of the heart? The color of the heart is actually the emotions. And when we approach Krishna with that emotion of the heart, and that is the Rag Bhakti. So at this point, I will just stop to discuss a little bit, and then I'll make another small little point at the end. Okay, any question? Yes? Very few got it. Very few. Very few fortunate ones. Like, one example is that, as I said, rishis, the sages of Naimisha Dandakaranya, who had the opportunity to come across Lord Ramchandra, and then they spontaneously felt felt a kind of love for Lord Ramchandra. But as Lord Ramchandra, that desire couldn't be fulfilled. So Ramchandra assured them that when I come in Dwapar Yuga as Krishna, then you can develop that relationship with me. So they got an access. Like in this way, very few, very, very fortunate souls had access to Vrindavan, pastimes of the Lord. Or some devotees who had become almost perfect. Right? Now to brush up the rough, to smoothen out the rough edges, they got an entry to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. They are born in the house of the gopis, as a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl, and then they develop their relationship with Krishna and went back to Godhead. So it was very, very rare in other ages, especially other age by Dwapar Yuga. But you can see in this age how easy it has become. And that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Prashant. Yes. Okay, yeah, that's that point I was coming. Then I left it for the next part. Okay, so since you brought it up, okay, I'll get into that. You see, Raganuga Bhakti, we have to enter very carefully. And the mood should always be, we are not qualified. If we think that, yes, I am qualified to Raganuga Bhakti and, you know, I am, after all, you know, not an ordinary personality, that will be very, very dangerous. You see, generally our mood should be, we are not qualified. That's why our acharyas did not speak so much about Raganuga Bhakti. They simply wrote, right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur hardly spoke about Raganuga Bhakti. He barely uttered the name of Srimati Radharani, like that. Because one has to be very, very careful. But you see, we feel unqualified, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers that we are qualified, then it will happen from within our heart, from within ourselves. And that is the way into entering into Raganuga Bhakti. But otherwise we try to trespass in that region, then we are running the risk of becoming sahajiyas. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement suffered such a setback after his disappearance? Because, you know, people didn't understand. And they prematurely started to delve into it. And the result was, they became sahajiyas. So that is the very caution that we have to take. Actually, Mahaprabhu came to give it to us. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was taking the deities from Bagh Bazar, to Ultodanga Road to Bagh Bazar, when they built the temple, he was singing one song. He was singing, Pujalo Ragopatho Gaurabo Bhange Matalo Sadhu Jano Bishayo Range. The Pujalo Ragopatho, the accepting and worshipping the path of Rag, and the awe and reverence or Vaidhi Bhakti became subdued or suppressed. And that became prominent. And the mood actually is, Matalo Sadhu Jano Vishayo Range. And the sadhus became involved in Vishay, apparently materialistic activities, like building big, big temples, and the sadhus were actually, apparently got involved in apparently materialistic activities. So this is our understanding of Rag Bhakti. That is spreading Krishna, for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, we are going to accept anything. And that's the mood that Srila Prabhupada established in a most perfect way. Like in ISKCON we see, like devotees are using all the material facilities. So and a person who is less informed will think that what's happening, this they're supposed to be sadhus, but look at their activities. They're involved in all apparently materialistic activities. Right? Many people can't really relate to that, you know. Sadhus are flying around the world, right? And living in building big temples and meeting with all kinds of important people in the world, dealing with millions of dollars. is this a sadhu supposed to do? No. But why these sadhus in ISKCON are doing that? Or followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are doing that. Because of their love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and loyalty and dedication to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. See, this is what serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers like Srila Prabhupada considered, like if we just sit under a tree on the bank of Ganges, that's not going to happen. So in order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, we have to take advantage of all these material facilities, all the advancement that today's world has made, like using the aircrafts, using computers, using everything, but for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. So our understanding of Rag Bhakti is this, not just sitting in one isolated corner and imagining Radha Krishna's pastimes. That is fine, but Prabhupada reminded us that that should be done very carefully and at a rather advanced stage. And Prabhupada pointed out, when the heart is completely free from sex desire, then only one should meditate on those pastimes. Otherwise, one will run the risk of falling down. So that's the caution that has been given. So the point is that yes, Raganuga Bhakti, but in order to follow the Raganuga Bhakti, we have to be very careful. Internally, we should feel that we are not qualified. It's not that if we feel that we are not qualified, we'll never have the access. But when we become qualified, irrespective of whether we feel we are not qualified, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will lead the way. Srila Prabhupada once actually told me, not me, I was present in the room, Prabhupada was telling somebody who wanted to know about his spiritual identity, Siddhas, what is his sarup. Prabhupada got very angry and started to chastise him. And then finally Prabhupada told him, don't worry about your sarup. When the time comes, I'll personally come and reveal your sarup to you. So why hurry? So let's just, isn't it wonderful to be engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement? So when you already have this wonderful engagement, then let's just be completely satisfied and content. And then in due course of time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will bestow his mercy upon us. On the other hand, if we prematurely try to enter into Raganuga Bhakti, as I said, that we'll run the risk of becoming sahajiyas. And that would mean, what does sahajiya actually mean? Sahajiya, either consciously or unconsciously, one starts to think that he is Krishna. And he can indulge in these activities that Krishna did in Vrindavan. And that's why Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it very, very clear that everybody in this movement has to follow the four regulative principles. No compromise on that. So that is actually the safeguard. That is actually the preventive measure from falling down or becoming a sahajiya. If one follows the four regulative principles, we are actually protecting ourselves. And then, yes, we can serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu And in due course of time it will happen. All right? Is that clear? Okay. Yes, Pankaj?
The residents of Vaikuntha planets, they've achieved the highest goal of life, which is obtained Krishna in a Vishnu form, a four-armed form. So are they lacking? Is there any feeling of that we haven't achieved?
No, they are not lacking anything. They are perfectly content being in Vaikuntha. But the point is that those who had become exposed to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through that became exposed to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, even when they go to Vaikuntha, they will not be satisfied. That is the point. The residents of Vaikuntha are satisfied. They do not have any discontentment. But those who have become exposed to Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, even if they go to Vaikuntha, they will not be satisfied. That is the point.
The remedy is that,
I will explain that in one of the next classes. The remedy is, has been explained by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He's showing the journey. The journey of a cowherd boy back to Golok Vrindavan, right? And this particular boy, this devotee, he goes all the way up to Dwarka, and there he is having the association of Krishna. But still his heart is not content. There is some dissatisfaction. He is having the association of Krishna, still he is not satisfied. So one day Narad Muni came there and he saw him and he said, "What's the matter? You are in Dwarka, you are having the association of the Lord, you are receiving so much mercy from Him, why still you are not fully content?" Then he started saying that, "Actually my heart is yearning for a person, for a young boy who tends cows in the forest on the bank of a river and who plays flute," and he started to describe. Then Narad Muni told him that actually I can see that your attachment is to Vrindavan. And he advised that you go back to earthly Vrindavan, Bhoma Vrindavan, and there you perform Sankirtan. So according to Narad Muni's advice, he came down to the earth planet in Vrindavan, and he started to perform Sankirtan, calling out to Krishna with all the love of his heart. And as a result of that, one day, he was elevated to Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. So remedy is that. Even from Dwarka, one will have to come down to this Vrindavan and perform Sankirtan. Sankirtan actually means calling out to the Lord with all the love of his heart. And by performing Sankirtan, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave, one will become eligible to be elevated to the spiritual Vrindavan. It is that. For even from Dwarka, one will have to come down to this Vrindavan and perform Sankirtan. Sankirtan actually means calling out to the Lord with all the love of his heart. And by performing Sankirtan, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave, one will become eligible to be elevated to the spiritual Vrindavan.
We always worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is just like the brother. He's inviting us to worship Radha Krishna through the process of writing Krishna. Then we become the Brahma to worship Radha Krishna. So if one attains Radha Bhakti, then how would you worship
Chaitanya? Worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually originally takes place in the form of Sankirtan. Jaggai Sankirtana Prayai Jajanti Hi Sumedhasaha. Or Sankirtan Jogge Kare Krishna Aradhan. In Sankirtan, through Sankirtan, in this age, Krishna is worshipped. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped. So ultimately, it is through this Sankirtan which is calling out to the Lord with all the love of the heart. And then, by doing that, one will begin to see that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Radha and Krishna. They will see Radha Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that, at that stage, the worship will take place in the form of Gaur Gadadhar worship. Right? The Radharani, Gadadhar, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like, Gaur Nithai worship is in Vaidhi Bhakti. But Gaur Gadadhar worship is in Rag Bhakti. Like, the way Gadadhar is seeing, the way Radharani is seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now the question actually arises, well, Krishna assumed the form of Radharani and he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why Gadadhar is Radharani? So the answer to that is that when Krishna assumed the mood and complexion of Radharani and became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Radharani also wanted to watch what happens. Therefore, he came as Gadadhar. She came as Gadadhar. And as Gadadhar, he is actually watching. That Radharani himself is watching Krishna assume the mood of Srimati Radharani. Yes, Falguna? No, in Vaidhi Bhakti. You see, when we are worshipping through Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulation, one worships Gaur Nityananda. Right? But in Rag, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped in Rag Bhakti, as Pankajangri Prabhu asked, then the worship actually is of Gaur Gadadhar. So that is done by very advanced devotees like Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He had his Gaur Gadadhar deities. Then some of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates also worship Gaur Gadadhar deities. Yes, Krishna Prem Prabhu. Yes.
So how does that happen?
Yeah. Okay, let us consider when we are approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what we are actually doing. Right? It is not that we are just getting stuck with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are actually getting to see Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually, when we are approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, worship that Krishna. Right? He is not saying that worship me. He is saying worship Krishna. So through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually we are getting to know the real identity of Krishna in Vrindavan and his pastimes in Vrindavan. Actually these pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan was not revealed before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Although Krishna performed his pastimes, even the Vaishnavas in other sampradayas, couldn't really understand. Many of them thought that these pastimes of Krishna is only secondary pastimes. And this Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an incarnation of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. That was their understanding. Some even considered that these pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan are immoral. Some even considered that these pastimes of Krishna, some of these pastimes of Krishna are obscene. Right? But only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and through his teachings, we got to know. You know, that's what, I mean, if we consider the history, then we'll see that. That, you know, like, before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna's identity was not actually revealed. And for us, we can say, after, you know, before Srila Prabhupada, this understanding was not clear. So you see, when we approach Srila Prabhupada, what do we see? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His abode is Vrindavan. And the way the gopis of Vrindavan served him, that's the highest worship. Yeah, the residents of Vrindavan.
So that's what I'm saying. We come to Vrindavan with full of understanding that Krishna is gone. So when we go to Vrindavan, this understanding is not there anymore.
Yes. So you see, that's why, you see, okay. See, when we go into Vrindavan, we don't become one of those principal gopis that Krishna is directly dealing with. We do not become one of those principal cowherd boys that Krishna is dealing with. We do not become Nanda Maharaj or Mother Jasoda that Krishna is dealing directly with. We actually become their servant. And we simply watch the fun. Right? We do not indulge in the pastimes of Krishna ourselves. We simply assist them. So that is our position. You see, like, we do not expect that Krishna is going to come and embrace us. Right? But, you know, like, we see that how Krishna is dealing with those intimate associates and embracing them. Right? Or, you know, his very funny and loving exchanges with them. Right? And just by watching that and assisting them, we derive our pleasure. Or rather, we will derive our pleasure. Yes, we have the understanding, but at the same time, there we do not really, we derive a great joy in seeing that how they are dealing with Krishna. And that is the meaning of, you know, being subordinate to a resident of Vrindavan. That is the way to enter into Vrindavan. Just we watch them and we assist them. That understanding will be there. Yes. With us we'll be there. And therefore, we'll have great fun watching how they are dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Jasoda is, you know, with a rope in her hand and a stick in another hand, chasing Krishna. We know that, look, I mean, what she's doing. She's chasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And look at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like a little child, as if he is afraid of his mother, is running away from her, and when she catches him, he starts to cry. And what a great performance. And that is the meaning of Leela, the pastimes. I don't know whether we have time. I actually exceeded the time limit. There is a class, so I will stop now. Actually, I tried to make it short. Still, I got only 8 points and I thought I'll just briefly cover them. Anyway, I guess I followed. So the last point is, that's why it is so important for us to follow the four regulative principles while practicing the process of Raganuga Bhakti. Therefore, Prabhupada didn't want to make any compromise with these four regulative principles. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.